So, welcome everyone. This is Ad Hominem, the podcast of illogical debate, and apparently it's Austin's birthday. Happy birthday, Austin, I guess.
Thanks, Joel. I really appreciate it. If you have any birthday gifts to send me, just don't, actually. Because I don't have a P.O. box and I don't want to give away my personal address, so send me a picture of something, I guess. A nice dog picture will work.
But, Austin, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like your day of life is overshadowed by the story of someone else's day of death and also life, I guess?
Well, let's see. See, this has actually happened before. It was like, I think it was like a few years ago. Easter was actually on my birthday, March 31st, for those who haven't picked up on the dates yet.
Yeah, this is going up on Wednesday, so we're super late.
Yeah, we're
super
late.
For our episode's theme. But, it's, yeah.
Well, we're not too late. Too little, maybe, like, but not too late.
Like 3 days.
Yeah. But no, I actually had my birthday on Easter 1 year, and it was like the entire day, I was like making jokes like, well, today's the big day. And everybody's like, oh yeah, Easter. And I was like, no, you asshole. It's my birthday. And everyone's just like, oh no, I have hurt this person.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it was honestly pretty funny. That was a good Easter joke that I pulled on a lot of people. And speaking of Easter jokes, Easter's on April Fool's this year.
Yeah.
You know what that
so
means?
So, I guess, yeah, we all know what that meant, I guess, because this podcast kind of died last week, but it's okay, because it'll come back 3 days after Easter, or has come back 3 days after Easter.
Oh my God. Joel, you tied it all together. That was the plan all along.
No, it wasn't.
No, no, it wasn't. Not at all.
No.
Joel's audio got corrupted.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. But it's okay. So we do need to, like, read off the polls that we skipped for that week, don't we?
Yes.
That's what I thought. So, Michelle, you're listening, right? Yeah, we're going to tell you how you performed. Austin, you want to say who won debate one on your end, which is Twitter?
All right. Yeah, sure. For debate one, it was me pitting Patrick Stewart against Michelle, throwing Ian McKellen in the ring. And Michelle won debate one on Twitter with a total of 4 votes, 100%.
Nice. Good job, Michelle. Just in case you've all forgotten or didn't listen to that episode in which we had audio drama writer Michelle Nicolaisen in the studio with us, we were talking about which of these celebrities vape. So if you weren't clear on what kind of battle we're talking here, it's a vaping match. Which one looks more likely to vape based on their looks and history and stuff?
I did say throw in the ring, and that sounds like we were pitching them as Pokemon, but no. That's a different episode.
Yeah. Though, that would be a good one for the next time. Which one vapes? Bootmon edition.
I don't think that crossover would work, but it's a risk I might be willing to take. Might.
We won't talk about it for a while. But I will probably take those debate questions we had last week and throw them into the mix another time. Because we had some good ones in there.
Oh yeah, we sure did. I've actually titled that file Ad Hominem, the Lost Episode. So if your audio, like, if you find a way to, like, uncorrupt it or something, that'll be our Lost Episode.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen like that. Like, I managed to open it in Audition, and it was just a blank file.
Ouch. Gotta hit Control S, my dude. All right.
I did. I know I did. I know I'd saved it, but it just wasn't there when I went back to open it. Anyway, debate one on Facebook. Michelle, you also won that one. 67% of the vote. That's 2/3 of it.
66.6 repeating, but yeah. That's 2/3. Debate two. It was Michelle with Josh Hutcherson and me with Liam Hemsworth. Michelle, you won that one with one vote, 100%.
Same, Facebook. Also, Michelle, 100%.
All right. Debate number three. I was debating for Willem Dafoe, and Michelle was debating for Jack Black. Michelle, you won that one, 100%.
On Facebook, that was Michelle, 67%.
All right. Debate four. Michelle was debating for Sean Ashmore. I was debating for Kevin Bacon. Michelle, you won that one 100%.
Michelle, you only got 50% of the vote on here. Austin, you got half of our Facebook listeners' appreciation.
No, it's weird. I actually got 51%. How odd is that?
Yeah, it didn't happen like that, though. So it's actually 50-50. I'm looking right at it.
Man, all right. That's fine. I was trying to swing something there, but it had no legs.
Yeah, 51 doesn't work when an even number of people vote.
I don't know. Maybe there's somebody that's like, I thought he did a little bit better, but, you know, like kind of like
unfortunately,
that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not how Facebook polls works. Well, or polls in general.
Well, you know what? Mark Zuckerberg, get on it. Don't at me, actually. For debate five, I was debating for Jerry Traynor, and Michelle was debating for Ashton Kutcher, and I won that one 100% of the votes.
Yeah, you didn't win that one with any of the votes on Facebook. That was 100% Michelle.
I also believe that Michelle just got the people that were actually more likely to vape, which is probably how some people voted.
I mean, it's possible. I do try and, like, leave up PSAs every once in a while, like, hey, remember, you're not debating on who's right, you're debating on who did better in their debates.
All right, so...
So,
this week,
on Ad Hominem,
the podcast of a logical debate.
The podcast of a logical debate.
We're doing more arguments. Joel, do you want to introduce the arguments, or should we just get into it?
I think we should tell people what we're doing, because it's kind of different.
Okay.
So, 3 days ago, it was Easter, but also 3 days ago, it was April 1st. And so... we've got a bit of a thing here. We did some digging, asked around, used our own imaginations a bit, and came up with a list of some pranks. And these pranks are all like things that would work best around Easter time. So Ad Hominem, the podcast of illogical debate, is a debate podcast where we play a sort of debate game that I am working on. And the basic idea is that each of us has a point we argue on a certain topic. And for this week, we've got all the same topic. Who's got the better prank idea? Let's do this.
Hell yeah.
Do we even have to debate this one?
Son of a bitch, Joel. I just realized what one you got.
This is we're starting off really, really strong, I think.
Yeah, definitely. This was submitted by Winter. Don't leave, even though I was supposed to be gone over a week ago.
Nice.
And I don't really know what I'm debating here. Just like,
you're supposed to tell me why that's a better prank than the thing that I came up with, which is convince everyone you're dead on Friday and then show up Sunday afternoon like it's no big deal. How is Winter's prank of not leaving better than convincing everyone you're dead for 3 days?
You see, I feel like Winter plays this prank a lot. Not leaving even though it was supposed to be gone a week ago, that's a classic. That has been in the books for years. And you see, I fall for it every single year, dude. I think, what is it, like March 21st, first day of spring? Oh, hell yeah. Gonna go out, wear some shorts. You know, I open up my window and get blasted in the face by 5 feet of snow. God, it gets me every single time. That has got to be the longest standing, best running prank in the game. And I think that since it falls on Easter and April Fool's Day, it just makes it that much better.
All right. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Sure, Winter was here when spring was supposed to be here. But I'm looking out my window right now, and we got some heavy rain this morning. It washed away the last of the snow. So unless you can prove that there's going to be more snow on Easter Day, I think Winter already finished its prank before the time came. That was just dumb. I didn't follow it because it's not my experience. What is my experience is that people always appreciate someone who does a good job of playing dead, especially when they find out later they're not dead. There's humor in that because everyone's relieved. You know what I mean?
I don't know how much humor there is in that, because if you've legitimately convinced people you're dead, they're going to start, like, planning that funeral. It's going to be really sad. And then if you just show up all nonchalantly, you're just going to be like, everyone's going to look at you and be, why? Why did you do that? They're not going to laugh. A good prank is all about laughing. And every time I look out the window and I see snow mid-spring, I think, you got me again. Oh, the old son of a gun. Every year. I mean, like I said, classic prank. I experience it all the time. I'm sure a ton of other people do. And it's just, in my personal experience, it is the greatest prank.
Okay, again, I don't know what you're talking about. All the snow is gone where I'm at. I won't be able to confirm that your prank is even actually happening for a few more days. It'll be Easter by time we know if anyone's actually doing this prank. But I mean, Winter, if you got the prank where you say you're gonna do the prank and then you don't actually do the prank but everyone's freaking out, that would be funny. That would be funny, I'll admit that. But you know what else would be funny? Everyone's at your funeral on Sunday when you said you were dead on Friday, and then you just walk in and everyone's like, hey, who's that body in the casket? And then the guy in the casket gets up and he's like, hi, I'm a professional dead person. I fake deaths for a living. Don't worry, everyone, you're getting a refund on funeral expenses. See, if I did that, it's automatically okay, right?
See, here's the thing, Joel. That is so much of a hassle. Like, that requires, I think, like a month at least of like meticulous planning and everything. I don't think it'll sit well with people. Because, okay, you ever heard about the boy who cried wolf? So in my experiences, if somebody ever cries wolf, they're like, they're just not believed later. So if your obituary comes up in the paper and they're like, oh, didn't that guy already die? Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't think so. I'm telling you, Winter, the only planning it has to do is just be like, hey, what's up? I'm still here. You thought I was going to leave? I'm back. It's like when you leave somebody at your house and they say they're going to be gone in like 5 minutes, and then you come back from work like 3 hours later and they're just sitting on your couch just watching Netflix or something. And it's just like, oh, hey, yeah, what's up? Gotcha. Right?
If you're going to phrase it like that, you've taken all the magic out of that idea of a prank, because you've just made it sound like you've got some lazy bum who's calling his laziness a prank. Laziness isn't a prank. A prank is like what you said. You take a month, 2 months to plan it. Because what's the definition of a prank anyway? It's not about people laughing like you said. It's about making the subject of the joke look like a fool, or actually be a fool. And what's the definition of a fool? Someone who doesn't understand their environment. Literal definition. You can look all this crap up. So, I come back to life, guess what? Nobody understands what's happening around them. I just pulled the perfect prank. Who cares that it took months and several hundred dollars to plan?
That was closing statements, right?
That was closing statements.
Okay, cool.
I'm watching my waveform right here. I can see it.
Okay. So, my logical fallacy for this one was anecdote. Use personal experiences or isolated examples as evidence instead of supplying research to support your claim.
Well, you did that. So, yeah. Good job.
Fun fact, I have actually had somebody like be like, don't worry, I'll be gone by the time you get home. And then they're not gone.
So I was using personal incredulity. Disregard information simply because it was hard to understand. So, I don't know what kind of winter sticking around prank you're talking about. I look out my window. I see a light spring rain that just washed away a whole bunch of snow.
You know, I'm going to laugh my ass off if it actually snows on Easter.
I will hate that because I'll have to drive either to or from work in it.
Yeah, that'll suck.
But that was our first debate, and I'm pretty sure we have to keep it.
Yeah, I think that one's required.
Required listening.
Oh, you know what, Joel? Here's a good question that we haven't posed ever before. Do you think people, like, skip over certain debates and just only listen to a couple per episode?
You know, I doubt it because I don't list what the debates we are doing are in the description. I mean, I kind of give, like, some idea of what we're talking about, but no, like, actual, hey, these are our debates. Here's where they start.
That's true. All right, so next one. I am debating that this was found on the web. Make the sponge cake actual sponges.
Yeah, you know how, like, for some reason, sponge cake is an Easter tradition in some families. Not mine. Let me just say that.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, I don't think I've ever had sponge cake.
I wonder if that's just, like, not a thing in our state, but it's apparently a big thing somewhere. So someone's going to get a kick out of this.
Someone's going to look at this and be like, oh, man, that'd be evil. And I just don't understand what's going on.
My thing is decorate the neighbor's house with Easter eggs. So, like, instead of, like, doing your TPing like you do any other day of the year, this year you're Easter egging their house.
You're Easter egging their house?
Yes.
Huh. You know, I'm looking at pictures of sponge cake right now. Looks kind of like angel food cake, but I don't think it looks like actual sponges.
No, I think it's, like, not as thick as an angel food cake.
It's probably, like, squishy. Which is where the name sponge comes from.
Most likely.
Either way, we're diving too deep into the analytics of sponge cake, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The decorate neighbor's house with Easter eggs thing. I came up with that from my brain.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So your thing is about hiding Easter eggs at other people's houses, right?
Yeah, so we're just, like, you know, dumping them on the lawn. And spacing them out so it looks like you tried to hide them, but everyone can tell that you, like, you put work into this, but you wanted it to be noticed.
I think it would be more funny to just, like, hide them, like, actually hide them. So, like, whenever your neighbor's doing, like, yard work or something, they just, they pull out an egg in, like, the middle of August and be like, damn it, these things are still here.
Okay, that's a good idea too, but I'm considering time as well.
Okay, yeah, true.
But I've already, like, we've talked about the details of my prank a lot. Let's go ahead and, like, get on to the game.
So, I'm going first, right?
Yes.
Let me tell you a fun joke. A good old prank-a-rooney. You ever had sponge cake? Probably. I mean, it seems fairly common. You ever seen an actual sponge? Like, the ones that you buy from stores and stuff? Instead of going through the hassle of making a sponge cake, just get a little joke in on all your friends and family and buy a few sponges from, like, the dollar store or something. Slap those babies on a plate, cover them up with icing, and see what kind of fools just dig right in. I think you could get a lot of people with it, actually. Because they'll be like, huh, looks like the sponge cake my granny used to make. Oh, this is going to taste delicious. And they bite right in, and it's just, I don't know how it would taste. I've never tasted a real sponge before. But it'd be funny.
That is kind of funny. I won't lie. That's kind of funny. But you know what's more funny? How about you take the age-old decorate the neighbor's house with something they don't want there. It works with toilet paper. It works with raw eggs, rotten eggs. Why not Easter eggs? So instead of egging the neighbor, you're going to Easter egg the neighbor. It works with anything else they don't want there. So spread a few on the lawn. Hide one in all their lawn stuff. They'll know you did it. They'll know you did it because of the ones you spread on the lawn. But they'll be finding them for months to come because of the ones that you hid. And actually hid.
I don't know if that'd be funny more as it would be a pain in the ass for a lot of people. I mean, and also I'm pretty sure TPing and actually egging someone's house is, like, an arrestable thing. Don't quote me on that. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. But it is a very, very rude thing to do. Now, see, sponge cake is like, it's easy. It's fun. Somebody sticks a fork in there and they're like, they look at it and they're like, oh, man, it's a good thing I didn't actually eat this all the way. And I think it's like a good non-toxic prank that you can do with in like a close group of people. And I don't know what your idea is behind this. I don't know how you know it'll be funny for your neighbor.
Well, you've kind of overlooked something big with your prank idea. Like, a golden rule for me. Don't mess with my food. You think getting your house egged, literally, or Easter egged, you think that's rude? You think that's an arrestable offense? I think you offering me dessert and then pulling back and being like, nope, not actually dessert. That's, if it's not an arrestable offense, should be. You legally owe me a dessert after that. Did you ever consider that? As long as you don't get caught for the other thing, you don't have to clean it up. But you are automatically, by doing the sponge cake thing, saying, hey, look, I did this prank. You all fell for it. They all know exactly where to point the finger. You ever think of that?
You see, Joel, they know exactly where to point the finger, and they'll remember it for sure. Which is why it's a good prank. They'll be like, hey, you guys remember that time Austin replaced a sponge cake with actual sponges? Classic. That's a good one. And then your neighbors will just be like, who the fuck is that asshole that keeps putting eggs in my yard? They won't know if you don't tell them. And that's kind of like where you're coming from on this whole situation. And how do you even know it'll be funny? Has this ever been tried before? I'm sure the sponge cake thing has been tried. I fully believe that it will be hilarious. Because, you know, replacing someone's food is always, I mean, sure, it's kind of upsetting if you're that big on wanting sponge cake. But, I mean, if you make an actual sponge cake to, like, make up for it later down the line, I'm sure you'll all will be forgiven. But it's a prank, bro. So just do it. People will laugh, and you guys can reminisce about it like 5 years in the future. I think that is a fantastic way to prank somebody.
You're offering to make me another sponge cake later down the line? No, you better have that real sponge cake right there, ready to follow up this fake one that you have thrown in front of me. Because you offer me food, I'm going to eat food. You're going to give me that food, boy. Now, about the egg thing. The beauty of this prank is there's no resentment towards any one individual. It's general resentment on all of society for letting your house get egged. And how do I know this? Because the other decorating yards with things that don't belong there, those are tried and true classics. There's a reason now that you can get arrested for them. It's because they're done all the time, and they're still funny.
Okay, so I went first, so I'll read off my fallacy first. I had the genetic fallacy, accept or dismiss evidence based purely on its source. And I didn't believe Joel. I don't think his prank would be funny. It'd just be a dick move. So that's that. What was yours, Joel?
I had the gambler's fallacy, assume information about future events based on a trend set by past events.
Oh, that was a good
one. And I have past events to pull from here because I have similar pranks I can reference.
Yeah, you sure do. Wow.
So that's that. We're down to it.
Oh, no.
So, if we're down to it, that means this is our last round.
Ooh, it sure is.
You ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be. Yeah, I know.
These are both very hostile acts. So I am someone Cair Bannag, the killer rabbit, or Cair Bannag, the killer rabbit, you know, from the Monty Python skit.
So mine was submitted by Connor Hoban, and it says, pelt kids with eggs as they look for them. Bonus points if they're leftover deviled eggs, and double bonus points if you're dressed as the Easter Bunny.
It's perfect.
I think that one's really good.
Yeah. Thank you, Connor. So I get to start now. We've all been talking about our pranks so far, but have we ever considered what happens if you bring an actual rabbit into the mix? A prank with a real rabbit or a fake fictional rabbit from a unsafe realm, but still a real rabbit once you've summoned it. I'm talking about a killer rabbit. Call out a killer rabbit. You've got yourself a real bona fide rabbit that's going around and attacking people. Now, I don't know about you, I can't think of anything funnier or more in tune with, like, the world and stuff. It's just, there's no beating a real rabbit that's very hostile and attacking people.
You know what, Joel? You're right. There is nothing better than a rabbit attacking people, which is why my prank is the best. Being dressed up in a rabbit costume and pelting kids with deviled eggs as they're running around searching for their plastic ones. You see, that's gotta be hilarious for, like, every single person there. The parents will get a kick out of it. The kids will know for a fact that the Easter Bunny does, in fact, bring the eggs. And I think it is something that'll stick with the kids for a while. And it also adds, like, a little bit of a challenge to the Easter egg hunt. You know, you gotta find these little suckers while you're under heavy fire from the Easter Bunny. And I just think that is a prank that'll stay with them for a long time, and it sure as hell will bring me a lot of joy.
It sounds like your prank people get a laugh out of. Mine, people get hurt. And I don't know if that makes it better, but it makes it more realistic. I mean, you've got an actual little hostile bunny going around doing the attacking with its fangs and sharp teeth and stuff. Do rabbits even... Yeah, of course they do. Of course rabbits have fangs. At least this one does, because he's the killer rabbit. And he has killed before. I don't know if he spares children. I hope not. That would make it even funnier. Or not funny. It would just definitely make everyone look like a fool as they try and retreat from this rabbit.
See, Joel, you're talking about everybody retreating from this rabbit and it being funny, but what about you? You could definitely be put in the line of fire there. You have all the chances of being killed by that rabbit with fangs. And if it does spare kids, it'll definitely come for you. I don't know how that'll work. But like you said, rabbits attacking people is always funny. And I feel like it's more funny if there's no lethality involved. So I don't know what you're getting at there about people dying and stuff. I just think it'd be hilarious, you know. See, the parents will be taking pictures of their kids, you know, like looking around for Easter egg. And you know there's going to be one parent that gets a picture of a kid the millisecond a deviled egg is busting open on the side of his cheek. That is going to be a picture for the scrapbook. I guarantee that. So I think that we all know what the better prank is here, and you're just kind of like contradicting yourself with this whole dying, not dying, funny, not funny thing.
You're ignoring one thing. It's true. There might not be a lot of people who get a laugh out of mine, but at least the fear in their eyes will be real fear and not, oh no, here comes that annoying kid down the road again. No, they're going to have real fear for a real rabbit, not some idiot in a suit. And real... it all being real and more, you know, in tune with the world and stuff, that will make it 10 times, maybe 100 times better.
So Joel, I don't know where you're coming from with this whole real, not real thing. Well, I know where you're coming from, but here's the thing. If you think it's funny to see the fear in people's eyes, I feel like there will be real fear in kids' eyes when they're getting pelted by eggs. Now, sure, it won't be as genuine as the fear of staring death in the face, but this one's actually funny and it won't cause traumatization for the rest of people's lives. This will just be like a funny one-off thing. It's not going to be like, I do this yearly. I mean... because then they'll expect it by that point, and it won't be funny. So, if you're summoning a demonic rabbit every year, I don't think you're going to be invited to a lot of Easter parties, buddy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say that. So, I think your all your points are just kind of like, I'm just going to gloss over them. Okay, so, you went first, so what was your fallacy?
I had appeal to nature... declare that that because something is natural, it is inherently good, truthful, or correct. And so I think the genuine natural fear of death is better for a prank than the artificial fear of an annoying egg to the face.
Ouch. So my fallacy was tu quoque, declare criticism invalid because the opponent's actions don't wholly match that of their claim.
I walked into that one, didn't I?
Yeah, I was just spinning it like, oh, you're saying all these things that are helping my argument, so I don't think your criticism really works on it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I couldn't figure out what your fallacy was, and I was kind of expecting it to have something to do with you saying gloss over, but I guess not.
I was going to say I'm going to gloss over your criticisms, but my time ran out before.
That's fair. All right, that was that. Thank you all for listening.
Well, since this will be in the future, hope y'all had a good Easter.
Yeah.
I'll probably put out Twitter updates on the whole birthday thing. So, Joel, you want to read off the Twitter that we're quote-unquote sponsored by?
Sponsored by? You mean like the one that we just both kind of had the login for?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, it's Incitement Games. You can find Austin at Austin Irwin. That's spelled with an E. Not the Austin part, the Irwin part.
You can find Joel at Denala Lioge. That is Joel Holland, spelled backwards. That's his.
We just read off each other's Twitters.
Yes, we sure did. You read off mine, so I felt like it was only fitting.
Okay, that's a little odd, but whatever. It works. So, what if you're not on Twitter? What if you're one of those people who only uses Facebook? Well, that's okay. We have a Facebook group called the Group of Illogical Debate. And if you are on the Group of Illogical Debate already, cool. If you're not, just type that into Facebook. You'll find it. We'll let you in as soon as we possibly can. And that's that.
And if you're on MySpace, what are you doing with your life?
Should we be on MySpace? Should we try and bring MySpace back now that Facebook's selling our data?
You know, I don't think so, actually. It would take way too much time, honestly.
Probably. But then again, Justin Timberlake apparently owns the site now, so we could probably just call him up and get like a great ad campaign going for it. And all these kids would be like, hey, what's this cool new social media site? They wouldn't know.
Oh my god. Wait, Justin Timberlake actually owns MySpace?
Yes. This is a real thing.
Why? Why? I'm looking this up right now. Why does he own... Hold on. Why does Justin Timberlake own MySpace?
Because of the feature where you can have, like, your music on your page or whatever. That feature, I think, is why Justin Timberlake thought, you know what? I could probably turn MySpace into a thing for musicians. Then Bandcamp came along and took the wind out from his sails. I think. That's probably how that worked. Sorry, guys. We looked into MySpace. It was a strange and alien experience. And they want you to be a professional now or something. I don't know. There's all kinds of celebrity gossip news.
Also, Justin Timberlake, if you ever listen to this, I am personally offended that you deleted my old MySpace account because I remember my username and password for it, so... Come at me. That's it. That's the episode. Thanks for listening. I'm done.
Always remember, folks, debates aren't about proving your point. They're about asserting dominance over your opponent.